and this little podunk Queenstown that's barely a spot on the map is going to be touching people in China and Indonesia and Nigeria and Australia and in all the corners of the earth. Because the people will come and get a hold of that glory and take it back out again with them. That's how God works. That's how God works. Kids in Peru, man, they're having revival in Peru. I get the Facebook bulletins from Pastor Willie down in Cusco. They're having four services a day. And people are getting saved by the multitudes, baptized in water and in the Spirit, and healings are taking place. Man. God has put it on my heart this year to preach through the Gospel of Mark, because it's a picture of Christ as a man of action. We got any men of action in here? Got any men? Yeah, more power. Men that are willing to get their hands dirty a little bit. Actually, men that are willing to get their hands clean a little bit. Men that are willing to step out and be warriors for Jesus Christ, to come out of their comfort zone. Somebody once said, the safest place you can be is in the will of God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I didn't come here to church for safety. I came to be dangerous. Is there any men in this place that are willing to get a little dangerous for God? Amen. Hallelujah! Is there any spiritual testosterone in here? Man! You know, as long as I know what you guys are thinking back there, as long as we're talking football, don't come out on the field if you don't want your uniform to get dirty. It's messy out there. It's not safe. You might get knocked down a little bit. You might get roughed up a little bit. Guess what? That's the price if you're going to pay if you want to do some knocking down, if you want to do some roughing up a little bit. God didn't call us to be comfortable. He called us to war. If you're not up to battle, if you haven't counted the cost and you're not up to battle, hide. Praise God. The Gospel of Mark demonstrates Christ as a man of action. It also demonstrates what God can do with a person filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that a person, if someone understands the nature and the dynamics of the kingdom of God, and they yield themselves to His power and anointing, to the leading of His Holy Spirit, the Gospel of Mark is a picture of what He can do through them. I believe it is a picture of what He wants to do through this body, this year, and in the years to come. So if you're ready to suit up, let's dive right in. Amen? Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. I love church, man. Praise God. Let me let you let in on a little secret too. We're not having church so you can just come and watch worship or listen to me. Churches, you are the church. We're going to see in the Gospel of Mark, God has called us to action. Church is not a spectator sport. The church is the temple of the living God. It is the dwelling place of God. You are the church. You are the dwelling place of God. And if God doesn't do it through you, how else is He going to do it? John.
Instead of rebels without a cause, we are rebels with cause.
Glory. Oh, say it louder, brother.
Instead of rebels without a cause, we're
rebels with cause. We are rebels with cause. We're not rebels against God. We are rebels against the world system that holds people in bondage and darkness and ignorance. Glory to God. Where in the world am I? Oh, Mark chapter 1. This is still on the first page. You guys, man, you have my sympathy, man. Woo. Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptist did not go around saying, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. They won't hear you in the wilderness when you do that. He's in the wilderness. The voice of one crying out, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. That's what we've been doing for the last year in my office on Wednesday afternoons. That's what we've been doing for the last year in talking about revival and talking about the book of Acts. We've been calling God's people. This is what God wants to do. Prepare the way of the Lord. This is how God wants to operate. Prepare the way of the Lord. This is what God wants to show and do and demonstrate through you. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. I believe that's what we've been doing. And now we come to verse 4. I promise you I was going to stretch you today. I'm going to stretch you today. I'm going to stretch you. Promise. Some of you maybe not. Some of you is like, ah, been there, done that. Okay. Mark 1:4, John the Baptist. John came baptizing in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. In all the land of Judea, and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts, wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I baptize you with water. I baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. It's water. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would drench the front of this building. Do you see the difference? He says this over and over. It's like that for a reason. I indeed baptize you with water. He, but, everybody say but. But. He will, preaching myself hoarse. God. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Can you sense the electricity in that passage? That is alive with promise. Please don't read that intellectually. Let your spirit hear the cry of John the Baptist. Let your spirit drink what God has put in His Word. He said, I indeed baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and power. That passage drips with anticipation. It drips with promise. People were already coming from all over the place out into the wilderness to see this guy. He's out in the wasteland. He didn't bring his promotional team. He forgot to advertise. Venue? Desert. Oh, yeah, they'll come. What's that?
Thank you, brother.
That's just what I was thinking. They're coming out into the wilderness from Judea and Jerusalem and the surrounding region. They're coming to see this guy, and they're like, wow, God is doing something here. What is this all about? And he says, guess what? Thanks for coming, but it ain't me. I'm just the messenger. I'm just the MC. I'm just the guy that comes out on the stage and warms up the audience. The main event has yet to come. And when he comes, I'm just baptizing you with water. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I am going to soak you with water. He is going to soak you with the Holy Spirit. That's what the word baptize means, to immerse. I am going to immerse you in water. He is going to immerse you in the Holy Spirit and power. I am going to saturate you with water. He's going to saturate you with the Holy Spirit. He's making a contrast. And you know what I think just totally rocks? Is the very next verse. God shows us, in case there's any doubt, God shows us exactly what the dude was talking about. Verse 9. Thank you. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the
Spirit
descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Oh, John says, I baptize with
water.
He's going to baptize you with
Holy Spirit.
John says, I baptize you with
water.
He's going to baptize you with
Holy Spirit.
Jesus came to see John in the Jordan, and coming up out of the
water,
he saw the heavens parting and the
Holy
descending on him like a dove. Can you see the connection? Can you see the power? In other words, if there's any doubt in your mind as to what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, God just demonstrated it in this passage. Jesus is our forerunner. Scripture calls him the forerunner. He's the prototype. He is our model. And what we see happening to him in this passage is what God wants to do with each one of us. He's baptized by John in water. Immediately afterwards, coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended or fell upon him. He came from heaven. He came up or down? Left, right, or down? Left, up, right, or down?
Down.
He descended upon, he fell upon him, just like there came a sound like a rushing mighty wind from heaven And the Holy Spirit fell. The Holy Spirit fell on the disciples in Acts chapter 2, just like the Holy Spirit fell upon the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, just like the Holy Spirit fell upon Cornelius and the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, just like the Holy Spirit fell upon the Ephesian believers in Acts chapter 18 and 19. And just like the Holy Spirit probably fell upon Paul in Acts chapter 9 when Ananias laid hands on him and healed him of the scales on his eyes and said that that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love that contrast. John baptized with water. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. No, check this out. John is a man clothed in camel's hair. Jesus is a man clothed in power. Do you see the difference? How many of you want camel's hair? How many of you want power?